Hi everyone, welcome to Info Conference Call. While people are joining, we'll wait for a while. We have 50 people with us. We'll wait for a moment. Hi everyone, we are about to start. We have about 100 people with us now. Vivek, you can start the call.
Sure, thanks. Hi everyone, good evening and welcome to Info Edge India Limited Q2 22 Financial Result Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the call, kindly raise your hand on your screen. This conference is being recorded. Joining us today from the management side, we have Mr. Sanjeev Vikchandani, Founder and Vice Chairman, Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Co-Promoter and Managing Director, and Mr. Chintan Thakkar, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin today, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide number 2 of investor presentation for detailed disclaimer. Now, I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Hitesh.
Thank you, Vivek. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Q2 FY21-22 earnings conference call. Trust you and your loved ones are safe and in good health. With the number of new COVID cases on a declining trend, and thanks to the massive effort put in by the government in vaccinating people across the country, we are foreseeing normalcy return to our life, daily life gradually. That's the good news. We will now talk about our quarterly financial performance. And then, of course, we'll have time for Q&A. And as always, the audited financial statements and other schedules, segmental billing, revenue, etc., along with the data sheet, have been uploaded on our website, infoedge.in. We had an excellent quarter. Overall billings in Q2 grew to Rs. 402.2 crores, up 61.3% over Q2 of last year, and up 34% from Q2 of 2020. Revenue in Q2 stood at Rs. 351.7 crores, up 37.3% from Q2 21 and up 11% from the pre-pandemic levels. Operating expenses for the quarter, excluding depreciation and amortization, were 245.4 crores, up 20% from Q2 21 and 13% from Q2 20. And operating EBITDA stood at 106.3 crores. Versus 51.6 crores last year, an improvement of 106% from Q2 21 and 7% from Q2 20. Operating EBITDA for the margins for the quarter stood at 30.2% compared to 20.1% for the same quarter last year. And operating cash EBITDA for the quarter stood at Rs. 165.9 crores compared to 45.7 crores last year and Rs. 82.5 crores in Q2 of 20. During this quarter, our investing company Zomato Limited has came out with an IPO of its equity shares, and such shares have been listed on NSE and BSE on NSE and BSE on July 23, 2021. We also participated in the offer for sale as selling shareholder and sold 49.3 million shares for a total consideration of Rs. 375 crores and booked a gain on sale of investments of Rs. 357.14 crores under exceptional items. Effective listing date, Zomato Limited has ceased to be a joint venture, that is a jointly controlled entity, and hence has been reclassified as financial investment, which will be fairly valued at each reporting date in accordance with Ind AS 109. Accordingly, unrealized mark-to-market gain of Rs. 8941.2 crores till date of listing of Zomato has been credited to P&L through exceptional item. Unrealized gain of Rs. 7339.8 crores from date of listing till quarter end has been taken to other comprehensive income in accordance with one-time irrevocable option available under Ind AS. Deferred sales revenue for the quarter stood at 561.2 crores as of September 30th, 2021 versus 371.9 crores as of September 30, 2020, an increase of 50.9% year-on-year. The cash balance of Info Edge, including the wholly owned subsidiary, stands at ₹3,880 crores as of September 30, 2021, as against ₹3,325 crores as of September 30th, 2020. As one can see from the above numbers, the company has experienced remarkable billing growth in Q2 21-22. A similar trend was also observed in traffic and interactions across all our platforms. The growth trajectory in the recruitment business that started in Q4 of 21 has carried on in this quarter as well, with the September 21 job peak index reflecting almost 60% growth YoY. We observed improvements in hiring sentiment in both IT and non-IT industries. While the index for IT and ITS vertical grew by 173%, index for other verticals like banking, insurance, retail, hospitality grew in the range of 40-70% year-on-year. We've also released our October Jobs Week Index recently, and the growth trajectory in recruitment across various verticals continues. The tech talent market remains very competitive, and it's posing a challenge to hire the best talent in the market for all companies. This is also reflected in our higher personal costs during the quarter in our financials. We are also seeing a revival of the real estate segment post the impact of COVID-19 second wave that had hit the country in Q1. There is sizable growth in loan books of all major home finance companies. With low prices and higher personal income, the country is seeing a higher housing affordability index. It's the highest in the decade. Accordingly, the traffic on our platform in terms of new listing and user queries has also been showing encouraging trends. In Jeevan Sathi, we continue to the strategy to invest in our brand and user experience. We continue to focus on increasing our share in the Hindi belt. During the peak of the second wave of the pandemic, the subdued sentiments didn't hamper the steady progress in the growing number of users and billings. We're also seeing more interest in our education portal from both students and institutes. We'll now talk about financial and other highlights of the recruitment segment. In Q2 22, recruitment segment billings were ₹291.1 crores, up by 73.9% from Q2 of 21 and 39% from Q2 of 2020. Revenues were 256.5 crores, up by 40.5% from Q2 21 and 13% from Q2 of 2020. Operating EBITDA for the recruitment business stood at ₹153 crores, up 52.3% from Q2 21 and 23% from Q2 20. Margins peaked at 59.6% versus 55% last year. Cash EBITDA for the recruitment business during the quarter stood at 192.8 crores, up from ₹85.4 crores reported for Q2 21. Cash EBITDA margins were at 66.3% of billings compared to 51% in Q2 of 21. Recruitment numbers shared above are standalone numbers and do not include IIM Jobs, Zwayam, and DoSelect. IIM Jobs and Hirist had a year-on-year growth of 110% in their billing numbers, closing at 10.9 crores from 5.2 crores reported in Q2 21. Our recent acquisition of Zwayam also reported a Q1Q growth of 40% during the quarter. A wider and comprehensive recruitment offering ranging from Naukri Restex to IIM Jobs, Hirist, and B2B offerings like Zwayam, RMS, and DoSelect to customers is showing promising sort of strength in the market. On the product front, we made significant investments in upgrading the foundation of the platform, which is essential to drive faster and scalable innovations in the future. A lot of emphasis is now being placed on data classification and taxonomy. With new age digital companies, we're building changes in adding new roles and changing the industrial taxonomy on the platform. With these building blocks now in place, we expect our continued investments in the data science and UX layers of the product to drive increase more and more stickiness going forward. Restex renewal rates have been progressing since last quarter and are showing improvement. This quarter also witnessed a growth in Naukri India billing by 60% over Q2 of 2020. This is just the Naukri India corporate business that I'm talking about here. The recruitment segment consists of Naukri Candidate Services, Naukri Gulf, Quadrangle, and as well. Just the Naukri India enterprise or B2B business grew by 60% over Q2 of 2020 and about 82% over Q2 last year. We are seeing a sizable uptick in sales of usage-based products in all our business in our business verticals. Of course, we also rationalized discounts and up prices on some products this quarter. This quarter also saw significant growth in new CV registration on the platform. We added an average of 19,798 CVs every day, up 20% compared to Q2 of 2020. Average CV modifications were 539,000 per day, up 20% YOY. Moving on to 99acres, billings in Q2 grew by 45.9% year-on-year to rupees 68.1 crore, while revenue grew from 36.3 crore to rupees 48.3 crore. Operating loss for the quarter stood at rupees 21.9 crores against a loss of rupees 7.2 crores in Q2 of last year. Business was at a cash level, however, the business was cash neutral in Q2 2022 against a profit of 3 crores earned in the same quarter last year. The 99acres business also saw a strong recovery post-COVID second wave in Q2 in all business segments. Billings grew 204% over Q1. We had a strong momentum exiting Q2 as well. We saw daily listings on the platform grow 29% over Q1. Renewal rates bounced back this quarter and are back to pre-COVID levels. There's a marginal change in the product mix, with few customers now focusing on upgrades and high-value services being offered on the platform.
It's a problem which Hitesh is facing. We'll just join back. Hitesh, you're on mute now.
Hitesh, come mute.
There's some internet challenge you're facing. Hitesh, you're back in
mind. He's logged out. He's back.
I was logged out. Can you hear me? See me now? Clearly?
Yeah, Hitesh, yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, thanks.
Hitesh, you may have to repeat from daily listing on the platform grew by 28%.
Sorry, daily listings. Okay, so we saw, okay, so 99acres business saw strong recovery in Q2 in all business segments after a slow Q1. Billings grew 204% over Q1. We had good momentum exiting Q2 as well. We saw daily listings on the platform grow 29% over Q1. Renewal rates bounced back in the quarter and are back to pre-COVID levels. There's a marginal change in the product mix, with fewer few customers now focusing on upgrades and high value services being offered on the platform. Overall responses on the platform grew well, with growth in every category. Rental and commercial markets also recovered well, besides new home and resale. Our improved platform experience is helping generate more inquiries for our clients. New premium listings were launched for brokers in resale, rental, and commercial. New home pages on desktop, new solutions for advertising and discovering co-working office centers are also rolled out in the quarter. Reviews and locality insights were further improved and scaled up in the quarter. We expect this momentum to continue, at least in the residential buy segment. Low interest rates for home loans, people looking for bigger homes, stamp duty incentives in some states will hopefully continue to aid residential home sales. Market is likely to remain affordable for some time. Now, of course, all this could change if real estate prices start going through the roof. Share of the online medium and overall advertising spend of builders will hopefully continue to increase as advertisers further realize the cost efficiency of digital versus the offline medium. And we will continue to invest aggressively on improving our core platform experience in all our business verticals within 99acres.com and in marketing our brand to further improve our competitive position. This space, of course, also a lot more competitive than earlier, thanks to a lot of money flowing into this sector. Jeevan Sathi, billings declined marginally by 1.6% year-on-year in Q2 to rupees 24.3 crores, and revenue grew 6.7% year-on-year to rupees 25.4 crores. Operating EBITDA losses stood at rupees 21.2 crores in Q2, down from a loss of 33.3 crores last year. Cash loss for Jeevan Sathi during the quarter stood at rupees 21.7 crores, against a cash loss of 32.7 crores in Q2 last year. The surge of COVID cases in the country caused a slowdown in the initial part of the quarter. This, however, continued in the quarter with many users putting off matrimony search in this period. Business continued to work, however, on product development with focus on improving verification mechanisms and smoother communication flows from the platform. Users are now offered increased privacy by allowing them to completely hide their contact details and encouraged to use on-site chat and voice video calls to connect with others on the platform. On the verification front, Jeevansathi now has 55% of the daily actives verified through a government-issued ID number. We now also offer newer ways for NRIs to verify their profiles, helping in improving their user experience. Moving on to the education business, in Q2, billings grew 74.7% year-on-year to rupees 18.9 crores, while revenue grew 60.8% year-on-year to 21.6 crores. We made an EBITDA of rupees 5.1 crores versus an EBITDA of rupees 0.9 crores in Q2 of last year. Shiksha exhibited strong growth in billing and collections in Q2. It has deepened its engagement. In Shiksha, we are working hard to deepen our engagement with private colleges and universities for undergraduate admissions as well, in addition to postgraduate courses. And we continue to invest in making our content more comprehensive, more student-friendly, more real-time, and in building deep domain expertise. This should help us in generating even more responses for our customers going forward. At the consolidated level, the net sales for the company stood at rupees 364.07 crores versus rupees 260.9 crores for Q2 of last year. For the consolidated entity at the total comprehensive income level, there is a profit of rupees 13,805.5 crores versus a 331.8 crore profit for last year's same quarter. As explained earlier in our commentary on standalone financials, we hereby further clarify the impact of the listing and OFS on our consolidated financials. We have booked a gain on sale of investments in Zomato Limited for rupees 357.14 crores under exceptional items. We have also booked an unrealized mark-to-market gain of rupees 7867.7 crores till date of listing of Zomato. It has been credited to P&L through exceptional item. An unrealized gain of rupees 7269.36 crores from date of listing till quarter end has been taken to other comprehensive income in accordance with one-time irrevocable option available under Ind AS. Adjusted for the exceptional items, PBT stood at a profit of rupees 66.6 crores in Q2 22 versus a loss of rupees 31.6 crores in Q2 21. Thank you. We are now ready to take any questions that you may have.
Thanks, Adish. Thanks, Adish. We'll now begin the Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may raise your hand on the screen. We'll take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Anand, you may start the Q&A now.
Yeah. First question is from Nitin Jain. He's a private investor. Nitin, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is related to the recruitment business. So do we see any business model or any new age business coming and threatening the traditional hiring business, wherein it is more passive, as in the applicant goes onto the Naukri website, uploads his resume, and then, if the recruiter is interested in the applicant and they reach out to him or her. And a follow-up to that is, what kind of a threat do we see from Apna.com, which is seeing like super growth numbers recently? Thank you.
Well, to answer your first question, that's what actually happens in Naukri today. People upload their resume and recruiters contact them, right? It's not just a job application platform. About 70% of our revenue comes from our database product, which operates the way you mentioned, right? And of course, we are throwing more and more AI and machine learning at the problem to improve the experience for both job seekers and recruiters so that they don't have to spend a lot of time searching like earlier. So, and to answer your second question on Apna, but to answer your other sort of the other point you raised, do we see a threat, a lot of threat from startups and other verticals? Well, not much has changed in the last few months. Of course, there are a bunch of startups like always trying out new things. We also are trying to disrupt our own model internally. We've been investing in JobHai and you know, Big Shift inside the company. We're trying to build new products to see how we can sort of change the experience for job seekers and recruiters. But early days for many of these companies, nothing material to report on that front, at least at this point in time. So the threat, the competitive situation has not changed dramatically for us in the last few quarters. The same, LinkedIn and Indeed, these continue to be other big guys in the market. As far as Apna is concerned, well, Apna is, I think they're looking at the, they're targeting the blue collar market, while we, the Naukri business, operates more in the white collar space. And I think it's still early days for them. I don't think they are sort of, we see them as competition as yet, but of course they have raised a lot of money and I'm sure they're trying to sort of, build a good product. But early days, we don't see them as competition at the moment, at least in the space in which we operate.
Okay, just if I can dig a little deeper on the hiring business. So what you mentioned about JobHai or, filling the white spaces in this business. My point is a little, a step further. Do we see any disruption coming to this business? And how are we preparing for that?
So, like I said, we have a very strong sort of product development team in-house, and they keep working on making changes to the platform. They sort of improve the experience of both job seekers and recruiters. So we continue to experiment with a bunch of things. One is, of course, we've acquired some startups. Like, I mentioned, we have a recruitment assessment business now. We have a software business in Zwayam. We have BlueSelect. We acquired IIMJobs some time back. Inside the company, we've been investing very aggressively in improving the platform experience in Naukri by throwing more and more machine learning and data science at the problem to provide better recommendations, better alerts, improve our search quality, improve our data quality on the platform. So these are areas which you can. We've also been a place to where you can research information on companies. There are lots of reviews, salary data, interview questions on Ambition Box. Our first Naukri business also has had a good quarter. It grew at more than 100% last quarter, year on year. So there's a bunch of things we are doing inside. We are experimenting with we're test marketing sort of JobHai, which is our blue collar platform in the NCR market. If the results are encouraging, we'll roll it out nationally. We are trying to build a digital agency platform through a Big Shift. Early days again, we are experimenting. We have a huge team working on sort of some of these things inside the company. Outside, of course, there are a bunch of startups and they're trying out various things. Has anybody become very large? Answer is no, we are not. There's nobody who's even 5% of our size at this point in time. Startups I'm talking about. So outside, our competition continues to be mostly LinkedIn and the other established players who've been around for a while. Of course, things could change 5 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, who knows.
Of course, yeah. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Sachin. Next question comes from Vivekanand from Ambit Capital. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, am I audible now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. How should one see the recruitment billing in light of your previous commentary of a more evenly spread out collection for this business post-COVID? Hitesh, what I'm trying to get at is, what is the trendline growth now for this business as it appears now that we are past the COVID challenges? That's my first question. Second one is on the AIF book. Could you give us an update on how much corpus has been deployed till now and any thoughts around increasing or decreasing the size of the book, given that the deployments We've been seeing news reports that deployments have been happening quite frequently. Thank you.
Yeah, let me take the first question. So you're absolutely right. See, last year we had a muted Q2 because of COVID. I think recruitment billings were down maybe 13%, 14%, 15% last year. And on the back of that, of course, the growth this quarter looks very, very solid. And you're right in saying that Q3 was a normal quarter last year. So last year Q3 was, I think, flattish over Q3 2020. So if I just sort of extrapolate, growth should slow down in Q3. Year-on-year growth should slow down in Q3 compared to Q2. Unless, of course, the recruitment market gets worse in the sense, or it gets even better from our standpoint. So it's a red hot market right now. We saw, a lot of our growth in Q1 and Q2 was driven primarily by the IT market recovery. But now what we're also beginning to see are some green shoots in the non-IT market. So even attrition rates are growing in other functions. Talent is getting harder to find. Salaries are going up. So I think if the market goes crazy in the other verticals as well, then all bets are off. But yes, otherwise, year-on-year growth should slow down compared to last quarter in Q3, because the base will be higher. But it's very hard to say, right now, how it's actually going to play out.
I take the second part of the question on the AF.
Yeah,
thanks. So look, we have no announcements to make right now, except to say one thing that, look, we remain committed to investing and we'll continue investing. But as of now, what is the status of the first fund? We are not making any announcement right now. We have seen from the Zomato and Policybazaar experience that, look, it does pay. It is profitable. It creates value for shareholders. It gives us good return on our investment. And therefore, we continue to stay committed to the course of investing and investing judiciously. So as and when this fund is fully invested or at least somebody first checks, we will evaluate our options.
I just want to make one more point. All the comments I made were with respect to billing growth, right? Because in our business, revenue growth is different from billing growth, as you were seeing this quarter as well. So billing growth may slow down, vis-a-vis Q2, but revenue growth may still be better because we recognize revenue with a lag. So let's see how it plays out going forward.
Thank you very much for the comment.
Thanks, Amit. Next question comes from Satvik Jain, RHP Renewal Fund. Satvik, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you. So just wanted to delve a bit deeper on 99acres. So given, lot of competition which is happening, so going ahead also, we would be spending more on keeping and taking away the market share. I'm assuming.
You're right. It's a very competitive market and the market is also likely to grow faster going forward. And there are many more players and a lot of money flowing in. And there are also, it's not just one segment anymore. 99acres is, new homes, there's resale, there's rental, there's PG, there's commercial. So there are various sort of segments sub-segments within the larger sort of real estate overall, within the overall real estate umbrella. And we are likely to invest more and more in marketing going forward in this market.
Perfect. All the best.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Next question is from Sudhir Guntapalli from ICICI Securities. Sudhir, go ahead and ask your question.
Thanks, Hitesh. For the entire team for giving the opportunity to ask the question. My first question is on margins part. Of course, we have seen margins trending up significantly because of the strong growth that we have seen in this quarter. Hitesh, how do you look at the margin trajectory now? Do you think that it has more or less peaked out, or if the job market continues to be very vibrant and growth continues to be very strong, like we have seen in the current quarter, there is still some more headroom for recruitment segment margins to inch up?
You're right. It depends on growth. So if the market continues to remain red hot and be, if margins will only improve. But if things start stabilizing a bit, then margins should, stabilize or sort of maybe inch down a little bit going forward. It'll depend on growth from here on.
Sure. So there is no thought process around margins more or less plateauing or peaking out or anything of that sort in this segment?
See, we don't really target margins. We basically, you know, set targets for sales growth, and we, you know, invest in product development, and then margins are a result of what happens in the end, as you know, when we go to market. So it's not as if we have a target margin in mind which we want to maintain as a company. We don't work like that.
So I'd like to add something there. See, you got to understand that one is if the market is red hot, it's good for our sales. It's not so good for our wage bill. It's not so good for our own employee attraction, retention, attrition. And therefore, while sales may go up, so will to some extent our costs, because you know, because wages are one of our biggest costs. So where the balance is, you got to figure that out. And as they said, we don't target margins.
Sure, sir. And Hitesh, just an extension to that, in 99 acres, how do you read the margin trajectory? You know, if I were to marry the one of your previous comments about a higher intensity of investments in marketing and sales. So if growth continues to be strong, how can we expect the margin trajectory to be in 99 acres?
I don't know. See, it will depend on competition to some extent. It will depend on what opportunities we see for ourselves in the long run. Again, here we, again, like, we're not targeting margins. We are, you know, if tomorrow we have to lose 200 crores a year, 9 acres to make stuff happen, we will lose 200 crores a year, you know? And on the other hand, if it's not required, it's not required. So I think the long-term game in any internet business is leadership. And I think we have to do whatever it takes to establish and retain leadership in all the segments we operate in if we want to stay in the game.
Sure. And just one last question on the 99 acres part. So recently, of late, we have seen very increased aggression from Square Yards, and they're talking about offering an end-to-end product suite, or let's say enabling transactions on the platform vis-a-vis, you know, just a listing sort of a platform. So how do you look at 99 acres responding to this sort of a increased competition or higher intensity of competition? Do we also have plans of making it more end-to-end product and transaction-enabled platform, or we continue with our current game?
See, in the short term, we have no such plans. We will continue with the model we have, which is basically a marketplace model. Square Yard is not a marketplace, it's a brokerage, right? And there are several such brokerages we work with today. They're all our customers. We are not looking to set up a brokerage in the near future, nor are we looking to change our model. But like I said, what I'm telling you is likely to hold for the next 2 quarters. The situation is constantly evolving. It's a changing market, very dynamic market. I can't say what's going to happen a year from now, but this is what our, like, is, I mean, unlikely that we will change what we're doing for the next 2 quarters at least.
Sure, it is. Thanks. That's it from my side. All the best for the future.
You're on mute.
The next question is from Mayank Babla from Dalal & Broacha. Mayank, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is regarding, sir, what is the plan with the money raised from the OFS from Zomato's listing? If you could span that out for us.
Yeah, Chintan, you want to take that? Should I take it?
Yeah, go ahead, sir. Just take it.
Look, the money wasn't that much when you compare it to our, you know, our total capital pool. You know, we got what, 350 crores? How much is it, Chintan?
Yeah.
357 crores. Okay. That's a little bit of tax, and then rest of it comes, and it just adds about maybe 7-8% to our, maybe 10% to our fund balance. So there's no specific plan for it. All money is fungible. We will obviously use it for our whatever I'll be using the rest of the cash balance for. It'll be part of that.
Okay, sure. And sir, second was just a suggestion. Don't mean any offense to Hitesh, sir. So in the initial remarks, if you could go a little slower, it would really go a long way for analysts, sir.
I'll do that. I'll keep it in mind.
Thank you so much. And best of luck.
We also put out the transcript, you know, on our website. So maybe that will give you a chance to again give you the
sir, but usually
that will be done in a couple of hours. How long will it take?
Yeah, actually, yes, key takeaways go immediately after the call. So,
no, sure, I'm sure. I understand. I'm just saying that.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Thanks, Frank. The next question is from Devesh. He's an investor. Devesh, go ahead and ask your question.
Good afternoon. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. I just had some more directional question in recruitment vertical. So given that, you know, we have a strong performance, the market looks good, like you said, red hot. And do you have any adjacencies, monetization, for example, Ambition Box seems to be doing really well, right? So do you have any more monetization platform, monetization plans around these platform extensions? Or as such, the you know, the data itself of the large pool that we have?
For the next few quarters, we are going to be focusing on monetizing, of course, our main Naukri platform better. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of opportunity there. And we, you know, sort of launched some new products, repackaged some of our existing products. We've taken a price hike, we're cutting discounts. So one. Two, we are also trying to scale up our IM Jobs business. So that's a, this is a business we acquired some time back. So we are now using the Naukri sales team to sell that product, that suite of products to our customers. Three, you know, we recently also acquired Zwayam and DoSelect. So these are new products in our portfolio. So for the next, year, couple of years, we are also going to be using our sales team to sort of sell these products to our existing customers. So now, of course, you know, the team is working on developing new products and there are new ideas and so on. But this is where most of the revenue is going to come from for the next, you know, year or two.
Got it. And just one connected question, just for as a business model understanding, for Naukri particularly. Now we have seen, if we see last 5 years, right, or maybe even extended to 10 years, people used to switch less when there were less startup ecosystem. Fast forward, the transactions per se would happen more. Does that augur well for us in terms of a business model?
No, absolutely, because see, you know, in the long run, our revenue and our growth is a function of how many people get hired through our platform. And how many people get hired through our platform is a function of, one, of course, our market share and some of those things, but also a very macro level of, you know, attrition rates in companies, growth plans of companies. So if a company has an attrition rate of 10%, they need to hire 10%. I mean, and they have 5,000 people, they need to hire 500 people to stay at the same number. But if that attrition rate goes to 25%, they need to hire 1,250 people to stay at the same number, right? Just to stay at the same number, they have to hire for growth. So if attrition rates at companies go up and if that becomes a new normal for whatever reason, could be because of economic growth, could be because of higher economic growth or COVID or digital transformation or whatever, right? Then that's going to be a big plus for our business on the revenue side. But like Sanjeev mentioned earlier, it also means that we have to work harder to retain and attract talent for ourselves. And it also means higher wage bills for all companies, including us.
Sure. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Divish. Next question is from Aditya Grover. He's an investor. Aditya, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to understand what's the trend in more and more startups, your portfolio startups in which you have invested, in like they welcoming your investment fund again in the further rounds, in the upcoming rounds. So like in Happily Unmarried, if I'm not naming the startup correctly, you're not the biggest owner in that. So what's the trend in like, so they have so much options, the funds have so many funds that looking for a startup. So how they look the, InfoEdge again, upcoming rounds coming into them.
Sanjeev, you want to take that?
Sorry, could you repeat the question? I lost my audio for a bit.
Yeah, so if I'm naming the startup correctly, I've seen your stake has increased year over year. So what's the trend in your portfolio companies? How easy it is now for you to increase stake in your present portfolio company in which you have invested? Because there's so many options.
So the question really for us is, do we want to increase the stakes?
Yes.
Do you want to maintain pro rata? Do you want to? We don't mind diluting. Now, the answer is different for different startups. Okay. Now, one consideration is, look, if there is enough external money coming in and these new investors have got deep pockets and the company is going to require a lot of capital going forward or support potentially, you want more pockets on the table. And therefore, if somebody is coming in with a demand that, listen, I want X amount percentage shareholding, you may even do less than your pro rata. On the other hand, if the company is looking good and but others don't have faith, right? We might put in the whole money ourselves, although we are increasingly less inclined to do that. Because we have seen in the past in a couple of companies that, look, we ended up losing money. Because, you know, if you're doing financial investment, you need more than one pocket at the table.
Right.
You know, we did the first four rounds of Zomato solo, but eventually by the fifth round, as the requirement of capital kept going up and up, and it was beyond our means or beyond our risk, beyond our risk appetite, we had to sort of go out and get external capital, and that worked for the company. So I think the key is to do what's best for the company, the investing company, and not just our company. And it's different in different cases with different considerations. But what is pretty clear to other investors now, enough of them, is that, look, Info Edge is regarded as a decent early stage investor. So we're getting enough follow-on investments or inbound interest into our portfolio companies from other investors. That is happening.
Okay. Thanks.
Not every company, but in enough companies.
Thanks.
Thanks, Aditya. Vivek from Ambit Capital is back. He has another question. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you very much for the follow-up opportunity. My question is pertaining to the merger of iOrbit Career with the standalone entity. If you could give us an update on when that is likely to fructify and when will, you know, the billing of recruitment standalone include the IIM jobs billing also, and what are the pending procedures? Second is, do you have similar plans for Zwayam and DoSelect as well, given that now they are 100% owned and you know, your sales team seems to be promoting these products in tandem? Thank you.
Chintan, you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. So Vivek, on IIM jobs, our court process is over. We are just waiting for the final copy of the order. I think this quarter we should be kind of merging it, you know, along with standalone numbers. It took a little longer than what we had expected because of COVID. There's a lot more pendency in the court, and even after the hearing was done, it took a kind of a more time to get the order out. But I think this quarter we are hopeful that it should be done. On Zwayam and DoSelect also, of course, this is subject to finally board approving it. But as a model, we have found that IIM Jobs model worked very well for us. So we are likely that we would follow the same model. But so far, we haven't kind of got any resolution done or process started for that. So legal integration may take a while. But business integration, as Nitesh has already informed, that we have already started a little bit of, you know, leveraging our sales and distribution muscles to help Zwayam and DoSelect. So that part is already begun. The legal process may take a while.
Thank you. And I have one more question on the recruitment business. So Hitesh, you said that the India billing grew much faster than the overall billing for recruitment. If you could give us some color on whether the billing was driven by mostly higher quotas on your resume database access, or was it linked to value-added products that the customer base subscribed to, or was it just volumes? That would be great.
You know, I don't have the breakup right now, but you know, all three. You know, so we were able to realize higher prices, we were able to sell more volume, and we were also able to add a lot of new customers last quarter.
Okay, yeah,
thanks. Thanks, Vivek. The next question is from Vijit Jain from Citi. Vijit, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hi, Hitesh. So my question, I have two questions. One is on just the Info Edge Ventures side. You know, just a color on what is your investment level in ShipRocket right now? They've been through a couple of rounds of funding with you in the last 6 months, right? And second is, you and Zomato have both invested in ShipRocket now, and you also have another company called Shipsy, which is kind of in the related business. So just an overall sense of how you're thinking about this space specifically, and that exact number on how much your investment currently is in that business would help. Thank you.
So Shipsy is in a very different business from ShipRocket. Shipsy is essentially a B2B SaaS companies for shipping companies globally. Of course, a significant chunk of the sales are currently in India, but they are now also foreign overseas. So that has got almost no connection with JioProcket, does not compete, does not complement. It is a different target customer and solving a different problem. As far as JioProcket is concerned, look, in the EIF, we have got a pocket where 10% of the fund can go into late stage investments. And so both JioProcket and GoEasyGo were from that pocket. Now, JioProcket is a company we've been tracking for 8 or 10 years. We've known the other for a while. We almost invested in 2012, but you know, somehow I think we made a mistake not investing that time. But he's done very well. And he continues to do well. And we believe there's a logistics play there, which is very, very interesting. Because ultimately there'll be many, many, many e-commerce companies which do a lot of sales, which are not on Amazon or Flipkart, which means that they need logistics support for that. For the direct sales. And JioProcket is essentially targeting that market. It's doing quite well. So that's the logic and rationale. Zomato came in. I have to ask Zomato why they came in. They're listed now. I really can't speak for them. But Zomato sees themselves a delivery company. They see logistics and other grocery items and other stuff as adjacencies. And therefore they came in.
Right, got it.
JioProcket is an investment from the AIF. It is a pure financial investment. And therefore, obviously, you know, we will, at some point of time, look at an exit.
Okay, got it. And sorry, Sanjeev, if I can ask, what's your shareholding in JioProcket at the moment?
I'm not sure we've announced it because, you know, what happens is that, look, when you go into a company, there are other investors there. And you sign agreements which say you will not disclose anything beyond what the company discloses. And therefore, we stay with that.
Okay. Sure. Thanks. Appreciate that, Sanjeev.
But look, it won't be very large because it was a late-stage company and we didn't put in that much money.
Got it. Thanks.
We'll wait for a while. Yeah, he's there. Prakshit, go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, Prakshit, go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations, team, on a great set of performance and good to see your financial investments yielding good windfall gains. My question was regarding Zomato. So going by what Zomato has told about their strategy going forward, and I just wanted to know your thoughts as an investor, right? That they believe that they want to replicate a Tencent or an Alibaba or an InfoEdge. But one key difference, what we observe is that Zomato vis-a-vis these players, they had a kind of a cash cow business, which they funded these investments with. Whereas Zomato is as of now making losses for and going for growth, right? So in future, maybe in the next 1 or 2 years, do you see a risk of dilution at Zomato? And how do you see this playing out, given that the current kind of shareholders, right? The anchors, InfoEdge or Ant or an Uber may not want to put additional capital. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah. So first of all, boss, no offense, mate. It's not a windfall gain. Ye plan hai. Ye मेहनत की कमाई है हमारी मेहनत से ज्यादा उनकी मेहनत है बट ये मेहनत की कमाई है ठीक है तो इवेंट फॉल गेन नहीं है ठीक है इन स्ट्रिक्ट अकाउंटिंग टर्म एम आई राइट चिंतन
दैट्स करेक्ट
ओके एंड दैट इज अ जोक ओके एसाइड नाउ सी सेकंड इज दैट Zomato इन इट्स ओन हेड इन इट्स ओन थिंकिंग इज नॉट एमुलेटिंग अलीबाबा और अ टेंसेंट और एन इन्फोएज you know, they're independent thinkers and they've always been independent thinkers. And they're following the strategy that they believe is right for their company. They, for instance, are only investing in adjacencies. InfoEdge didn't just invest in adjacencies, we invested in several non-adjacent businesses as well. Right? And they believe there's strategic synergy to be derived from many of the businesses that they're investing in, if not now, in the future. For example, if they believe that groceries is a big part of the future, potentially, they will look at investments in grocery delivery, they will look at investments in logistics that can help deliver groceries and so on and so forth. And somewhere, hopefully, they're saying it'll all add up. Now, as far as investing from money raised from the market versus money from operating cash flows. Look, a more conservative approach would be, hey, make a profit, okay? With that profit, you invest, as opposed to raise capital to invest. That's probably the way Info Edge would have done it, because we are more conservative. Zomato has always been a little bit more dynamic, nimble risk takers than we have been. And it has worked for them. And what we do has worked for us. So I don't say one approach is necessarily better than the other. But look at it this way. We have taken 24 years to 25 years, almost 24 years, to reach maybe $10, $11 billion market cap. They've taken 13 years to reach, whatever, 13, 14, 15 million market cap. Maybe they've taken a higher risk approach, but they've got there, right? And I'm not saying, high risk better than low risk or low risk better than high risk. I'm saying they're two different approaches and they're following that approach. And we accept it.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot, Sanjay.
Thanks, Prakshit. Next question is from Prateek from Antique Stock Broking. Prateek, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yes, my question is regarding investment space only again. So there was a comment from one of the, I think, peer investors recently that investors are feeling like commodity due to this liquidity surplus and level of competition is so high that there are many rejections and disappointment in recent months. So in that context, I think in one of the calls earlier, we have mentioned that we have been meeting several companies like on a daily basis or a quarter basis. So even us also now, we are chasing companies or companies are coming to us. In what context we should see this like statement?
Both are happening. Yeah, both are happening. The point is, there are some identified good companies which a lot of investors chase. There's sometimes you get a hidden gem, which others haven't found yet. You quickly go in. There's sometimes, you get a situation where, you simply can't get in. You're too late. Far too many people already got in. And so on. Sometimes you get a situation where a company already flipped overseas. There's a constraint now investing in a flipped company. And so on. But as long as, in a fund, you'll invest in 20, 25 companies maximum, 27, 28. It's not as if you'll do 100 companies in the size of funds that we are doing. So to get to that number, I think there's enough. If you work hard enough, work smart enough, you dig deep, you meet a few hundred companies every month, you're okay. You'll find your investments.
Okay.
We also now see a lot of the good companies now come as the references from our investee founders. And we found referred deals are often the best. And if the founder becomes the ambassador, which in many cases has happened with us, it works well.
Sure, thank you. And my second question is related to the prior question on like Zomato investing in adjacencies. So Zomato was able to raise $1.2 billion from market towards various, as was suggested, towards various organic and inorganic growth initiatives. Obviously this IPO happened and now is behind and they have able to raise the money. But had this IPO not happened, so still let's say if they would have been going to private capital investors asking for, for fundraise, so they still would be investing in these adjacencies, suggesting that, for example, we may look at say profit or,
adjacencies. So, that's a counterfactual situation, which I don't have the answer to, but I would have advised them to obviously be a little careful and first get the core business in order until you're listed. But look, that's my advice. Like I said, Info is more than the way than they are. So I don't know. They might have. Who knows?
Okay. And just last question. On the billing side of the Matrimony segment, this number of 25 crores, how do we see that on a quarterly basis, 2-3 years down the line in Jeevansathi segment?
2-3 years down the line, it's going to be very hard for me to predict what's going to happen. Yeah. can't say.
Sure, thank you.
Thanks, Prateek. Next question from Charvi Chindwani. Charvi, go ahead and ask a question.
Hello, everyone. Am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
First of all, congratulations to the whole InfoEdge team for today's Policy Bazaar listing, and I happen to be one of the allottees, and also the Sanjeev Sir for the Padma Bhushan Award. So my question is regarding this data privacy bill that's been around.
Just a clarification, it's Padma Shri, not Padma Bhushan.
Sorry,
Padma Bhushan is two levels higher.
Just to clarify. Yeah, sorry, sir. So it's regarding the data privacy bill that's been around for quite some time now, and it's been said that it'll take further discussions in the winter parliament bill. So just wanted to know, how would this impact the startup space and also this internet space? Because then a lot of approvals would be required, and many people who are becoming aware have started denying the approvals, like regarding locations and all of that. Would that impact Naukri or any other vertical or any other adjacent startup business sector?
Sorry, I didn't get the question. Chintan, you got the question?
No, I also didn't get something related to privacy law.
I'll take it. See, you know, if I got you right, what you're saying is there's a privacy bill and, you know, all kinds of approvals will be required to get more data on users. And would that therefore impact our business? Is that correct?
Yes, not just in Naukri business, but like many other businesses, those require locations, like all those businesses that are asking for the locations, and many people have, like, becoming aware of the fact, have started denying for the locations all this time, the people around me and all of that. So would that impact the business, the advertising spaces and all of that? That's the basic question. Do you see, like, it's too ahead of its time, but have you, like, managed to come out of it or have a plan to that aspect?
See, I can comment on our businesses. We don't see it impacting our businesses because in our business, we ask for all this data and people give it to us willingly. Because if, for example, you're looking for a job, you know, recruiters want to know where you're based. And more than, and job seekers are more than happy to share where they're based. It's not as if we are sort of taking this data and serving some other ads to them. Yet, you know, they sort of willingly give this data to us and we use it to improve experience of both job seekers and recruiters. Similarly, in real estate, I mean, people willingly give us their location data or whatever other data because they want to sell their property. If they want to buy a property, they need to sort of share this information with us. Ditto with Jeevansathi as well. So I don't see this impacting our businesses because, you know, we are very transparent about what data we collect. We don't use data on the sly. You know, we are, you know, so it's what you see is what you get on InfoEdge. We don't take data from people's mobile phones. We don't sort of, I don't do any of those things. So as far as our business are concerned, of course, I'm not very, very familiar with the bill, but the location piece, we don't see that impacting us. But of course, one will have to study the bill in more detail to see if there could potentially be an impact on our verticals. As far as the other sort of internet businesses go, I mean, I guess the impact would be different on different businesses depending on their data policies.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for taking that. And I have just a case that happened to my sibling a couple of days ago. A call got to him, like he was registered on the Naukri website for some job and all of that. So a call got to him saying that they're talking from the Naukri headquarters and they want to know if he's still looking out for jobs. And if he is, then like he'll have to pay a certain amount of fees, like 1,000 rupees fees and all of that. So, like, is it extracted already from the application or it comes from the data, like internal mail data and all of that? So that was where the basic question was directed to.
He's talking about some fraud case. So we are not charging, you know. So Chavi, if the impression is that this was, that call was from Naukri asking for money for the job application, I don't think that's, you know, what we do. That's not our model. In fact, we aggressively tell and message everyone that they should not be paying specific for any job. So,
see, we are a free platform. You can register for free. You can apply to jobs for free. There are some candidate services for which we charge. Like if you want your resume developed, we can help you write your resume. There are some paid services, but I'm aware of what, what we are also sort of experiencing, and we are actually a victim here, is that there are many people outside who are using our brand name to freeze job seekers, right? So people get a hold of this data from wherever they get data. And then they sometimes call them and say, listen, we are calling from Naukri and we can help you with your job. And we can help you line up interviews for you. And if you pay us money, we'll get you a job or we line up interviews. That's got nothing to do with us. Right.
Yeah, we exactly thought of it to be a fraudulent call because it was not verified on Truecaller, all of that. So we actually didn't actually go further on it. But yeah, it was just one of the questions that had something to do with data privacy. And I thought to raising it in front of you first and then going ahead with it.
Shavi, if you can offline send us the details, you know. In fact, Vivek is there on this call and we would can and see if we can help you on this.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
That was the last question. In case anybody wants to ask any more question, please raise your hand now. We'll wait for a moment. Hitesh, there is a question from Hitesh Sharma. Hitesh, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah. I just wanted to know, by any chance, are you planning to have brick and mortar situations as well in your current line of business?
No, I mean, we are not looking at expanding offline in any major way, right, in any of our verticals.
Hitesh, there are certain aspects of our client engagement that are offline. For example, the Naukri sales team for the big account goes and meets clients. Earlier, face-to-face, now over Zoom. Once COVID goes away, maybe it's face-to-face again. Likewise, in 99 acres, similarly. But the product and platform itself is online and the consumption is online and usage is online. There's, of course, a telephone element also sometimes where you have a call center to make a sales, where you have a call center to do training, you do WebEx training. So the core product is online with some facilitation and support, which sometimes is offline. But no, I mean, we're not. What Hitesh was saying is we're not planning to have a core product that's offline.
The reason for asking was that, like, the specialized placement consultants, like 3P or someone else, are you planning to have some separate channel for the extremely senior people?
No, see, like I said, see, we could continue to sort of focus on improving our online platform and improve the experience for all kinds of job seekers. We have a separate vertical for freshers, First Naukri. We just acquired iimjobs. You know, we have a lot of premium job listings there for premium job seekers. We continue to work on improving the experience for all kinds of job seekers on a Naukri platform by using more and more machine learning and data science to personalize it and so to ensure that people get relevant jobs, etc. We are not looking to set up an offline business to help senior job seekers or anything of that sort at this point in time. We have a small business recruitment firm called Quadrangle inside the company. That's a tiny business for us. We do about 8-10 crores a year from that business. That they work more like a placement firm, but that's a very small part of our business.
But Hitesh Sharma, the point is that as long as I think we have Vivek, how many placement consultant clients do we have?
14,000.
We have 15,000 placement consultants who use Naukri. So when you get on a Naukri, you are potentially, you can get helped by 15,000 specialized placement companies as opposed to us doing our own.
Yeah. No, I'm only talking to like directors and all the senior people, like they, something like that. That's all, like, because that is a trend going on.
No, we have no such plan. We have no plan to launch a separate vertical or a separate line of business or offline or online for very, very senior people. Not at the moment, at least.
Thanks a lot. And congratulations again to Mr. Bikchandani for being awarded Padma Shri, I think.
Thank you so much.
I really feel proud about it. I've been using Naukri, I think maybe like 35 years. My career has been 35 years, 37 years to be precise. So whether for recruitment or for looking for, I've been doing something many times. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Any more questions, please? So we are done with the Q&A session.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. On behalf of InfoEdge, we conclude this conference call. Thank you.
You may disconnect. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time out for this call, and have a great evening.
Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much, everyone. We conclude this call now. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you so much.